Turn your Bibles this morning to 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3. Perhaps the title of our message this morning would be Reward or No Reward. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Now I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of person is this talking about that they, when they stand at the judgment seat of Christ, all the works that they have done for God will be burned up? And they'll be saved, the Bible says, so as by fire. In other words, they'll be saved, but that's it. Now, let me paint a scenario to you. Who is it talking about? Is it talking about a person who professes faith in Christ? You know, the one who, you know, I'm saying, okay, who is it that has no reward? A person who professes faith in Christ, never really does anything for God, maybe goes to church once in a while, you know, but they die, and then they stand before God, and no reward. Is that who it's talking about? Actually, no. This is not talking about that person at all. Who is the identity of the person who will stand before the Lord Jesus in judgment, and they will take nothing with them? They'll have no reward. Well, the context is going to tell us who this person is. First of all, the context of this passage of Scripture is talking about the people, the church members, the active church members at Corinth. It's not talking about people who weren't church members. It's not talking about people who don't go to church. It's talking about people who are saved. It's talking about people who are church members. It's talking about people who are active church members. It's talking about people who are working in that church. Well, let's see all of those points. First of all, notice the book is written to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. "Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus. These are saved people. Called to be saints. So, we know that the Bible teaches that in order to be a church member, you have to be saved. And you have to be baptized. And you have to become a member of the church. So that's who this is written to. Remember, it's written to church members. People who are supposed to be saved. But it's not only people who are saved. It's people who are working in that church. They're working. And so in chapter 3, it says, now there's no other foundation than can be laid than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build on this foundation. Okay, so these are builders. These are people who are building on the foundation. What's the foundation? Salvation in Jesus Christ. Okay? Building on the foundation of Jesus Christ. You know, you wouldn't have any, there wouldn't be any message, would there? If Jesus hadn't died. There wouldn't be any Christian ministry if Jesus hadn't died. And that there's a gospel to proclaim of his death, burial, and resurrection, and people can be saved. Well, that's the foundation. But they're building on this foundation. They're building on this foundation. Foundation of the church is salvation in Jesus Christ. And now building on that foundation. Okay? So, the person who is going to go to the judgment and have no reward, first of all, we know they're a Christian. Number two, we know they're a church member. And we know they're an active church member. How do we know they're actively involved in the church? Well, there's two reasons. We know that. It says they're participating in the church. He says, verse 3, for ye are yet carnal, for where is there is among you envying, strife, divisions, are ye not carnal and walkest men? One saith, I am of Paul, another of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Well, I mean, they had to be at, they were in church, they're active in the church, and there was, you know, all sorts of talk in the church, all sorts of divisions in the church. They weren't out there, you know, planting corn. They were in the church. They were building. They're building the church. They're building the church. Now, so think about this. There's a lot of people who profess to be saved that aren't church members. Lots. Profess to be saved. They aren't church members. They aren't baptized. This isn't talking about them. You know, this is not talking about people who are, let's say, you know, they come to church once in a while. Not talking about them. It's not talking about people who don't get involved in the ministry of a church. There's a lot of churches that have mainly church sitters. You know what? It's not talking about them. It's people who have ministry in the church. That's what it's talking about. They're building on the foundation. So I think it's important to find out who it's talking about. It's talking about church, active, born again, Christian church members, could we say, are ministering in the church, who are there in the services often, regularly. It's not talking about people who aren't church members. It isn't talking about people who don't work in the church. It's not talking about people who don't go to church. Now think about it. You know, here's a funeral. And someone dies. You know, 50 years ago they made a profession of faith. They've done nothing all their life for God. Nothing. You know, once in a while go to church. They've spent their life, you know, making money, having fun. You know, maybe they're a nice person, but you know, they really didn't do anything for God. And you know, we think, well, they're in heaven, but they probably don't have any reward. You know what? This is not talking about that person. In fact, if you read the Bible, that person is talked about somewhere else. You know where that person is talked about? That person is talked about in the book of Matthew. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Verse 13. Here's a parable of the Lord. It says, verse 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as, okay, the word as means it's a parable. It's like, okay? It's trying to teach a story. This is a man traveling to a far country and called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise he that received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time the Lord of those servants cometh, and reckoned with them. And as he that had received 5 talents came and brought 5 talents, other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And also he that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou hast delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then when he which had received 1 talent came, he said unto him, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gatherest where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast it, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall he be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. Now turn to Luke chapter 19. Verse 11, it says, "And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable." Another story, earthly story, the heavenly meaning, maybe. "Because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return." And of course, it's talking about Jesus. "And he called his 10 servants and delivered on them 10 pounds and said to them, occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and went, sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to rule over us." There's the context. We will not have this man rule over us. "And it came to pass that when he returned, having received the kingdom, then he cometh, commanded those servants to be called upon unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by reaping, trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto them, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in very little, then have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, here's thy pound, which I have kept hid up in a napkin. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man, thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one that hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me." Let me ask you a question. The person who would not serve his master, what is the picture? What is the picture of the person who would not serve his master? Is it the picture of a person who is a baptized church member, active in the church, attending the services, building, working in the church? Is that the picture of those two parables? No. No. I think we need to have our thinking checked. This idea that someone can so-called make a profession of faith, never do anything for God their whole life, oh, they're saved, they just don't have a reward. I think we better have our thinking checked. Because in the passage that we're today, the person who has no reward is not that person. The person in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 3, is a person who is an active, baptized church member who has definitely been born again. Now, let's look at it as, so now we have the identity of who the person is that they're talking about. We got to get that straight, okay? We're not talking about those people who profess to be saved, you know, go to church once in a great while, never do anything for God, oh, they're saved. Well,
I don't know that.
But this verse passage is not talking about them. So let's look further at the... let's look further at the fact that every believer will stand at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. And in this context, it's talking about church members. But let's look at that for a minute. First of all, let's look at the book of Revelation. Revelation 22 and verse 12 tells us when the judgment of believers will take place. Now, this is not Revelation 20, where we have the great white throne judgment. This is at the rapture. This is written to the churches. Verse 12, behold, I come quickly. Behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me. So it tells us a couple things about this judgment. It takes place at the Lord's return. It takes place at his return, and it is a judgment of reward. Okay, let's go to Romans 14 quickly. Romans chapter 14. Verse 12. Of course, Romans is written to believers, to Christians. Those are definitely saved. Verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. So then, every one of us will give account of himself. You know what? Too bad, ladies. It's everyone will give account of himself. Men, account of himself. Not what your husband said, but Jesus. Give account of yourself to Jesus. Isn't what your family said. That's not the excuse. You and I, every one of us, will stand before Jesus Christ as an individual and give account of ourselves. Now, that's that account, that's the idea of give an account. You know, you send, I believe it's the word legizimai. It's the idea that you send your child to do something, and then you say, okay, give me a report. Or you send your child to do something, and they don't do it right, and you say, okay, why? Give me an account of what you did. Okay, of course it's more than that. Okay, let's turn to another place, 2 Timothy. We read this today. 2 go to the place first, but we'll go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Huh. in verse number 5. This gives us insight into the judgment of believers, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned. Okay. What are the rewards of the believers? Crowns. With jewels. He says, if a man strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive, what? Lawfully. Okay, Jeremiah. So, you finish first place in the race. But you went inside one of the pylons instead of outside. Do you get first place? Do you win the prize? No. You don't. It appeared like you won, but you didn't win because you broke the rules. Right? You broke the rules. You didn't do it God's way. No reward. Did it your way? You didn't do it God's way. No reward. You have to do it God's way. You know, in the Old Testament, they're bringing the ark, weren't they? David's a great man bringing up the ark. But he put it on a cart. And the ark was going to fall over because the cart was unstable. And they put their hands to steady the ark. They died. They were doing a good thing. They were bringing the ark up to Jerusalem, weren't they? But they didn't do it God's way. The ark had rings in it. It was supposed to be carried by poles. With a man on each end of the pole, and four men carrying it. They didn't do it God's way. You say, there's the difference between new evangelicalism and fundamentalism. New evangelicalism is going to do it their way. No reward. Looks big. Looks great. A lot of results. So-called. Cross the finish line first. No reward. Didn't strive lawfully. No reward. And of course, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. It says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So here's a Christian. We're going to stand before Jesus. And our life is going to be judged. We're going to give account. It will be a judgment, a reward, or a lack of reward. That's what he's talking about, 1 Corinthians 3. Judgment of believers. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 3. There is a judgment. We know who's there. It's church members. Active church members. Going to stand before. Now wait a minute. It's not talking about the person who's saved that does nothing. It's not talking about the person who's saved and does nothing, is not in church, doesn't attend church, doesn't work in the church. It does. It's not talking about that person. Here in 1 Corinthians 3. Get that out of your mind. Very important to understand what it's saying. Now, so there's going to be a judgment. And our life of the church member, of a Christian, consists, verse 12, of building upon the foundation. What is the foundation? For no other man foundation can be laid than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Verse 16. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as the wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. What's the foundation? Salvation in Jesus Christ. Here's the Apostle Paul. He goes to Corinth. He preaches the gospel. People are saved. They are baptized. They join the church. He leaves. Now, those people are building on that foundation that he laid. What are they going to do? What are those people going to do with the foundation that the Apostle Paul laid, salvation in Jesus Christ? That's the foundation of the church. Got to be saved. Now he says, on that foundation you can build two kind of things. You can build gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble. But you don't necessarily know what they're building. Not necessarily, but there's an insight. Let's go to the insight. Verse 3, it says, verse 1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. For I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For where there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So there's carnality in the church. There's envy. 1 Corinthians 14. And 15. Hey! You're their arm. I'm just a little toe. Not fair. Hey! You're the eye, and I'm just an eyebrow. Not fair. Why do you have the big shot position? Envy. 1 Corinthians 14:50. Position. Importance. Says strife. You know what strife is? Called friction. Not peace, but friction. Friction in the church. Says there's divisions. How you know there's division in the church? Pretty clear. You know what? When someone comes up to you, a church member says, Pastor, you know, your church. Does this. I thought it was our church. No, your church. Or they come to me and say, you know, McQuanago Baptist. Oh, McQuanago Baptist, you're not a part of it? Oh, McQuanago Baptist. Oh, man, it's you versus McQuanago Baptist. That's division, isn't it? It's when they say the church, not our church. When they say they, and don't say we. You know, they. Sounds like divisions, doesn't it? You see, there's a little insight into this judgment. He said, what's going on is going to be judged at the great white throne, at the judgment seat of Christ at the rapture. And there's some things that are going to last. They're works of gold, silver, precious stone. But there's some things that don't last. Wood, hay, stubble. What are the wood, hay, stubble? Carnality, strife, division, envy, such like. I know what it says. There's going to be a fire at that judgment. And it's going to test the character of what was done for God. Now, carnality is not serving in the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's a person doing it in their own strength. It's a person doing it with the wrong motives. It's the person who is functioning fleshly. They're living for themselves. Now there's another insight into what he's talking about. There's another insight. And that's really in the application of the whole thing. Verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God. Now we got another parallel. Carnality, envy, strife, divisions, wood, hay, stubble, burnt up, defile. What does defile mean? Well, defile means to take away the purity. That's what it means. Take away the purity of the church. You know, it could be defiling, breaking down the doctrine of the church. There's some that say there's no resurrection. Discrediting the teaching. breaking down the standards of morality and of right and wrong by what they do. Breaking down the standards, lowering the standards, lowering the music standards, lowering the dress standards. It's defiling. Breaking down the purity. That's what it's saying. Breaking up the unity. Defiling. So why is this written? You know why it's written? Same reason all the Bible's written. Number of reasons. Number one, so they would change. So they would change. He didn't write this so they would just know they were doing wrong. They needed to know that. And there wouldn't be any reward at the judgment seat. He's writing it so they it would change, right? God's desire is that we all become blameless. Remember chapter 1? That this would change. That we all stand blameless at the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it's written. It is so there'd be a change. That those who were defiling the church would stop defiling the church. So they'd realize at the end of their life, if there isn't a change, they stand before God, no reward, none. None. But then there's another very serious warning. It says, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God? This has to be correctly interpreted. It's talking about the church. You know, the church is the house of the living God. 1 Timothy 3:15. If I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about this. Not talking about your body. That's 1 Corinthians 6. It's talking about this. That the church, the New Testament church, is God's sacred temple. It belongs to Him. It belongs to Him. And then he has something that's really serious. And remember, take it in context. You see, we don't take these things seriously. We don't take the work of God seriously. We don't take it belongs to God and don't touch it. Don't defile it. We don't take that seriously. And he says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Pretty serious. That's real serious. Now let's think about it. Korah and his friends think it was very serious when they went up to Moses and said, you know, Moses, you've taken on too much to yourself. We too, you know, are the children of God. And we have just as much, we're just as much saved as you are, and we ought to be the leader. Did they take that very seriously when they said that? Did they? No. It was just about them and selfishness and pettiness. They didn't think it's very serious. God thought it was pretty serious, didn't he? You know what God did? You know what he did. Opened up the ground and whoosh, they went down. Right into hell. God thought it was serious. Now really, this is the context. We don't think these things are serious. Because many times we're all about us. And we don't think about God. And everything is about how it affects me, and that's the most important thing in the world. It has nothing to do about what does God say. What's the most important thing? Now, so what's the opposite? Who is the one? What is it saying? Who is the one that receives reward? What can we learn? Obviously, it's the person who's walking in the Spirit. It's the person who's walking in the Spirit, does things God's way. As I was looking at this passage of Scripture, I was thinking, you know, these mega churches and their rock music and their immodesty and their weakened gospel. Don't get all enamored with that. The fire will reveal what it's really like. Building on the foundation. And this is a sobering point. Think about this. Building on the foundation. Wood, hay, stubble. Gold, precious jewels, silver. You know what came to my mind? Something that lasts versus something that doesn't last. Something that lasts versus something that doesn't last. And we're talking about spiritual things. The thing that's going to count is that which lasts. The thing that doesn't count is that which doesn't last. Very sobering. Very sobering. That which lasts, not the flash in the pan, not that there for a little while and then goes on, not that which stands for supposedly right and then just withers away and goes down the way of the world. No, that doesn't get rewarded. There's no reward there. Gold, precious, silver, precious stone, you put it in the fire. It's still there, isn't it? Right? Still there. You know, what about the fire of life? We have the fire of judgment. But what about the fire of life? Life is full of fires, isn't it? result of that fire, will your Christianity still last? Or will the fires be the end? The true character of our lives. The true character of our lives. The sad thing is, in the ministry, even in my ministry, you stop and ask, you say, well, what's going on? There's some that last. Some that last. But there's many that don't. Many that don't. We have all those images right here. All those great truths right here. And someday our life will all be over. All be over. They said in a little trite way, life will soon be past, only that which is done for Christ will last. And of course our text is saying not only will that done for Christ, but that which is done in the power of the Holy Spirit will last. Only that which is done for Christ with the right motive will last. Only that which is done for Christ that follows the biblical mandates will last. Sometimes it's important for us to take a moment and think what we're building. Now, we need to put it in the context. And I don't want to minimize that. It's about building the church. That's 1 Corinthians 3, building the church. That's primary, central in our service to God, building the New Testament church. In this day of interdenominationalism, in this day of parachurch organizations, in this day of everybody do their own thing, that's almost unheard of. But we have to stick with what the Bible says in the context. But within that realm, the best of God's people, and by the way, I think Corinthian church had problems, but it was a great church. It was one of the great churches. But there's a great message for us. Now you could ask yourself, well, where are you? Well, you know what? I'm on the sidelines. It's not talking about you. It's not talking about the person on the sidelines. It's talking about the person serving. That's normal. Are you even serving? You need to be serving. That's normal. We have this great ministry. Christ died. That's what life is all about, serving Jesus Christ. But when we serve Jesus Christ, better make sure that what we're doing, gold, precious stones, silver, something lasts. Not carnal. Not thing that produces strife, envy, that kind of stuff. But it's truly building the strength, the purity of the church. That's God's plan. Now, there's lots of ways to apply this to our life. I do know this, though. I don't think the Bible is picturing just being saved with no reward as a very good thing. Do you think it's picturing that very good? No. God's plan is that we stand before Jesus and be able to cast the crowns at His feet as our appreciation for what He did for us on Calvary's cross. Now, for you, maybe the first step is you've got to get saved. And if you aren't saved, this isn't talking about you. That's not talking about you in any shape or form. That's in Revelation 20. But if you're saved, and a normal saved person wants to serve the Lord, that's what it's saying. Normal saved person wants to serve the Lord in the local church. That's God's institution. That all will be judged in the day of the Lord Jesus. Now, if you aren't serving the Lord with your life, you have some backtracking to do. Rethinking. You know, a lot of Christianity is stopping serving instead of serving more than before. Reward or no reward? Didn't say any age, did it? Didn't say only 10-year-olds. Didn't say only adults. Didn't say only teenagers. Didn't have any age group there, did it? Everyone. Everyone who knows the Lord Jesus will stand before Him and give account. Let's pray. Father, now it's important for us to take this to heart. And Lord, bring serious thoughts to our minds. About producing that which is lasting versus merely producing that which has an appearance. But the fire will consume it. Whether it's the test of life or the judgment seat of Christ. And Lord, we need to have Your grace and Your Spirit to put these things into our hearts. And Lord, it takes the miracle of You today to receive the Word, to respond to it, to apply it, to want to please You in this area, whatever You desire. We know all the preaching in the world isn't going to change anyone. We know, Lord, it has to be You. And so we give and trust, Lord, the application of this message to each one of our lives. Life is so short. We must make sure that when we stand before You, we can stand with confidence, having lived for You correctly, And so, Lord, work in the hearts of your people. Perhaps today, as a result of the truth of the Word of God, the Spirit of God has spoken to your heart. And you say, you know, I know God spoke to me today, and there's a decision I need to make. Pastor, pray for me. I know God spoke to my heart, and there's a decision I need to make today. Maybe you already made it. Say, pray with me, God has spoken to my heart today. Anyone here today? Okay. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Lord, now we pray for these wonderful decisions made. Maybe decisions yet need to be made. Lord, give grace. Overcome our human will, our own human pride. Lord, help us to be humble before you and really allow you to search our hearts and our lives so that when we stand before you, you'll be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.